of using something more effectively. We don't have oil spills every day, thank goodness. We've got vessels that are able to be used for more than one purpose, or for that matter, programs that can be combined. I think that this kind of approach is exactly the kind of thinking we need to do in all of our state government, and try to utilize whatever costs we have to bear as efficiently and as innovatively as we can. Thank you.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill has a fiscal note of $500,000 this year and a substantially larger fiscal note for the second year. I'd like to just express the concerns I expressed in committee, and that is taking funds out of the 470 fund at 5 cents a barrel today. We're going to need $5 a barrel to fund all the programs and projects that we're thinking of using 470 funds for.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Several of us had the opportunity to view the Exxon Valdez oil spill and go along the beaches and see the equipment and the booms being laid out by the volunteers and by the state workers and others and the Coast Guard. But one of the things that really struck me was the use of an Alaska State Ferry as a central supply, refitting, and communication center. The ferry's doors could be lowered, and the boats could come up to it. Materials were taken off. The all kinds of equipment was available. However, there were certain things that were lacking, one of which was proper booms and cranes for handling heavy equipment, better pumps and storage racks, and the absence of the kind of shop facilities that you do have on ocean-going vessels, but are not generally found on our ferries for repair and refitting of equipment, and, of course, more places for stanchions, for boats, like lifeboats, that could be taken abroad and picked up. So the ferry actually was a highly efficient command center, refitting center, supply center, and also rest and refitting for the crews working. But it was obvious that we were making do, and a better design and just some additional equipment included would have made it that much more. The other need is a much more high-powered communications, radio communications center on board. So I think the dual-purpose design is something that really will be efficient. And however, I'm not going to design it, and I don't think any of us are, so I guess we have to trust the marine architects to do it for us, and they charge.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also speak in favor of this bill as someone who represents from Yakutat to the southern end of the Panhandle. Most of my district is served by the Marine Highway and throughout all of southeast Alaska, and I'm sure up in the Gulf, there are ferries that are traversing these waters all the time, and you never know when an oil spill is going to occur. In any effort we can make to have our ships be better prepared to assist in that effort, would be in the best interest of the state. It's important to recognize that we're not turning any of the state ferries into oil skimmers or you know, with pumps or anything else, but there are certain things as far as communications and to be able to, with the large cardiac ability, to be able to serve as a command center and house oil spill workers and different things, to have this contingency plan and to incorporate these ferries into that plan, I think is in everyone's interest to minimize potential damage to the environment when an unexpected oil spill occurs. And for that reason, I think this is a good step in the right direction. I'll be supporting it.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this bill. I think it's good to have the state involved in a more flexible and efficient use of state assets. We call the Tustamina the old trusty tusty, and if the trusty tusty had been equipped with the kinds of things that we're trying to do with these vessels now, then what a welcome sight it would have been, rather than going out and chopping down a few trees to make some a makeshift boom to keep the oil from the shores of Kodiak Island. So I commend the sponsor. I urge my colleagues to help us be a little more flexible in our response to oil spills, and the creative financing, I think, is going to also attract other kinds of financing to help us get the job done so that we can have much more efficient use of our state assets. Thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Just to wrap up, Mr. Speaker, I've been asked, having been a ship captain myself for quite a number of years, a career in the Coast Guard, whether or not this is feasible. And I think I'd like to respond to that. I see this as adapting some peculiar elements on the Tustamina as the vessel that would serve the areas in the southwest portion of Alaska to be better equipped with communications that could respond back and forth to the small boats that were operating in the area, to function as a command center, and perhaps to create some additional water and holding capacity so that it could accommodate the customers. All of that takes a naval architect to try to design that, and that's why some of the early money is out there. In southeast Alaska, I would see probably a 235 like the Aurora or the Condi that was used during the oil spill in Prince William Sound as a housing vessel, modified somewhat so that it could also provide additional services of that nature, and perhaps one of the larger vessels. I don't see the whole fleet being retrofitted. I don't see new ships being constructed. I talked to the prime sponsor, and he said, that's not my intentions. My intentions are simply to try to use some of these monies to make Alaska better equipped and more capable of responding wherever the oil spill might occur. We can't always depend upon having some tug come up from Seattle and save our bacon. And so that's the purpose, and I would urge people to give it a yes vote.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was the member who asked that question, and he spent a lot more years at sea than I did, but when I went through Navy ROTC, I did study naval engineering briefly and not particularly successfully, but I learned something. And the thing that I was looking at, Mr. Speaker, was the language on page 1, lines 10 and 11, to have the capability to assist in responding to containing and cleaning up the spills. And from the way that has been described by the representative from Juneau, I feel very comfortable in the bill. But I, from my knowledge and having been at sea for a couple of years, it would be difficult to adapt, I think, one of the ferries to actually going out and actually doing the cleaning up itself on that ferry. But what he's talking about as a command center and as a housing vessel and stuff, that's certainly well within the capabilities of the ferries. And with that legislative history, I feel very comfortable and will support the bill.
Representative Hanley, you have been seeking the floor for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not to dwell on it, but and I don't know that I have as much a problem with refurbishing or putting some of this equipment on, but if you read the last sentence on the page, it says the commissioner shall give priority to construction of one or more new vessels that have these characteristics. So they're not talking about, in this bill, we're encouraging them to build new vessels for this purpose. We're not talking about the first priority of this money being to buy equipment or having booms on board or to refurbish some of the ones we have. We're talking about building new equipment. And it sounds to me like everybody's, whenever we talk about having a commissioner or giving them that authority to build something that may be $30 million, we want approval over settlements over $1 million. It seems like a capital project to me, and each year we should go in, and if there's a good reason for the capital project, we could appropriate the money out of that fund. It seems to me here we're somewhat giving the commissioner the ability to do what he wants in this and telling him we want him to build new vessels. That's my concern.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have all the confidence in the world of Frank Turpin, but to give him a blank check to use as much money as he wants to out of this fund, particularly for the construction. On line 21, if they would be open for an amendment here, I would feel a lot more comfortable if we'd remove construction or on line 21 and then delete everything on line 24 after this paragraph. Then we're talking about refurbishing existing vessels that might be obsolete, building a new one out of our own hip pocket instead of trying to rip off 15, 30 million bucks out of something that is designed to protect and enhance the environment that's been despoiled out of this fund. Now, look, give me a break. This is going to end up building new ferries.
Representative Allman.
We have a very brief issue.
House to knees. Will the House come back to order? Before the ADs, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Mackey.
Now, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to respond to my friend from Fairbanks and other colleagues who have a concern that this is a blank check that we're giving to the commissioner to write out and build a new ferry. I think that if we look very closely at the bill on page 2, section 4, which starts on line 9, actually line 10, section C there, subsection C, notwithstanding other provisions of this section, money from the fund may not be used for a purpose specified in A 2 through 7 and D 2 of this section unless money is available from an appropriation made specifically for that purpose. I think what the section 2 that we're concerned about said the commissioner shall give priority to construction, and I think that, you know, the word construction is the word that sends up a flag with those that may or may not feel that we need to construct any new ferries. I think that prior to that being done, obviously would have to have an appropriation which was approved by this legislature. Statutorily, that's our prerogative. And the argument can be made at that time whether or not we should construct this vessel. I don't think that we ought to tie it into this bill. However, you know, I would agree that, you know, maybe there is some concern as to whether we should be directing the commissioner to do that, to give that the priority, but I think that's the intent of the sponsor, and it's very clear. And I think that they should give a priority to looking at the oil spill cleanup capabilities of any of these vessels should they decide to have a design and present that as an option to the legislature. So it's not a blank check, Mr. Speaker. And however, I think it is a good idea, and if that happens and it becomes proposed to the legislature, we can debate the merits of that particular plan at that time.
Ready, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since this has taken up a lot of time and debate, I want to just simply put on the record that it is not the intent of the bill sponsor, nor my understanding that this bill authorizes total new construction of car ferries with all the passenger accommodations and those things normally paid for out of the Federal Highway Working Capital Fund or any other funds appropriated by the state. For anything other than those deviations or alterations that permit it to function in an oil spill. So it is only for those adaptations, not for the entire vessel.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, I've not spoken on this bill before, Mr. Speaker, and I wanted to respond to concerns that were expressed that these monies coming out of the 470 fund did not appear to be appropriate to the 470 fund. Now, that's an argument that I have used many times since we created the 470 fund, because I thought the 470 fund was supposed to be for oil response and hazardous substance spills and so on, and the word spill seemed to have something to do with my thought. Now, we changed that. And we opened the door last year to allow that fund to be utilized for other purposes. And so now we're cleaning up old existing sites that need cleaned up. And we are spending money to go out and look for more sites to clean up. And we're doing a lot of other things with the 470 funds. And, you know, there's many of those things I was very critical of. And I thought, doggone, that money really shouldn't be used for that. Or like the speaker from Homer behind me indicated, boy, pretty soon that fund will be totally depleted. It'll never cap out. We'll never have the 5 cent a barrel tax go off. And instead, that tax will have to be increased each year as we find other projects to go on it. And I'd like to apologize for being critical of anyone else using those funds for a silly expenditure, because I certainly support this silly expenditure because it's for ferries and they're in my district, and that's not silly at all to me. That's a real meaningful kind of thing, and if it's necessary to tap this fund for that purposes, I'm more than willing to tap that fund for the purposes of the ferries, because for a long time we've neglected our ferries and haven't kept them up, and I think that though it may be stretching the imagination a bit, people should remember that even ferry boats have run on rocks at times, and the tankage on all the ferry boats is in the bottom of the hull, because we have a tank in the bottom of the hull, and then we have a car deck over it. And so if you run one of those ferries up on somebody's reef, you are going to have an oil spill, and they really ought to be able to help clean it up. So I guess somehow you could use that excuse, and I certainly will, to justify tapping 470 funds for building ferries, because I think that's better than using it for digging up dirt someplace else. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 165, Transportation, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 7 nays.
The committee substitute for Senate Bill 165, Transportation, has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 34 by the House Finance Committee, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 132 relating to the school term.
Okay, this is a concurrent resolution before us in second and final reading. Is there any, Mr. Majority Leader?
Yeah, just to clear up the... It's not procedural or anything, but it does require a two-thirds vote. Members will recall last night, two-thirds.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 34 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
33 yeas, 1 nay.
House Concurrent Resolution 34 has passed the House. The clerk read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21, Oil and Gas, by the Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas, relating to oil and gas exploration and production within and the state's royalty shares in the development of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee Substitute Finance with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, R. Phillips, Jackal, Copenhagen, Brown, Boyer, McLean, and Navarre. With no recommendation, Larson, Sharp, Barnes, and Ulmer. I have a committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Having a committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the House Finance CS for CS for SJR 21.
Are there any objection to the adoption of the CS, oil and gas? Okay, the finance CS. No objection. It's been adopted. Any amendments? Mr. Minority Leader?
Just for purposes of contemplation of an amendment, could somebody explain to us the difference between these two CSs? I haven't had a chance to review them.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, there are a number of differences. What we did, Mr. Speaker, was looked at the bill that came over from the Senate and looked at the House resolution, which was House Joint Resolution 21, and took the provisions of both and melded them together insofar as they were not inconsistent. And then we also added a provision at the lines 22 to 27, stating that there shouldn't be any reduction in the royalty sharing provisions unless the voters of the state approve a reduction in the royalty share. That was something that was discussed by the governor, seemed to have widespread approval, and seemed to be good on the merits, so we added that. But what we did was we basically took the two versions and melded them together. I can go over it line by line, but it's pretty self-explanatory.
Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, just another technical change on page 3 of the bill. On the last line, it references George Miller, vice chair and acting chair of the House Interior and Insular Affairs Committee. He is now the chair of that committee, and I'd ask the clerk to reflect that.
Would the clerk so do that? Representative Mary Miller.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Would the House stand at ease? House, come back to order. Before the end, we had adopted the committee substitute for the House Committee Substitute Finance. There's been some discussion as to a potential amendment. Representative Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It appeared to me that there was significant differences, and I should have caught that before moving on to the finance version, CS. But on page 3, further resolved, starting at line 15 and ending at line 21, you have two provisions in there, one revolving around the porcupine caribou herd and setting standards for strict protection. I don't imagine there's probably too much concern about that, I guess, but it is different than the original. And the other thing that is significantly different is addressing indemnification for subsistence users, as was done in 43 U.S.C. 1653, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Act. Indemnification normally means that you are paying someone for taking something from them. Now, I don't understand how or what the provisions of the Pipeline Act may have done, but that certainly is a significant difference from the one that came over from the Senate and prompted me to inquire about it, and I know others were inquiring about it also. I don't want to delay the process or this legislation, Mr. Speaker. Personally, I would be much happier with the bill as it came, or resolution as it came from the Senate, and for that reason would oppose, I guess, at this point, this bill. But I do think if it's possible, I would rather move back and vote on the question of do we adopt the finance CS or the document from the other body, as opposed to trying to wrestle our way through the amendment process, I guess. It just seemed quicker and simpler, but it's only a suggestion to the chair, Mr. Speaker, and I guess the real question could be either vote yes or vote no on this one, and if this one fails, we go back to the other. So that makes it about as simple as we can get.
Mr. Minority Leader, you're right. The best way is that if you object to this amendment, committee substitute amendment, to defeat it, and then we leave this back where we were. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand corrected on one thing here. The indemnification language was added in House Finance. That's not in either of those other two versions.
Okay, the bill is before us or in second reading or the resolution. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to add my concurrence to the minority leader that we rescind our action because sometimes in trying to be too nice, you overlook what your responsibilities are. And I'd like to have an opportunity to accept the Senate version as the vehicle rather than amending this thing. Thank you.
Okay, now we have adopted the House Finance Committee substitute. Yeah. So basically what the members would be doing would be voting on the House concurrent resolution. And ready for the question? Representative Zawacki?
Brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House stand at ease. Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the joint resolution 21 before us. Is that right? Yeah, joint resolution 21, and we just adopted the House Committee Substitute Finance. It is in second reading, and I understand we have an amendment. Will the clerk make reference to amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Representative Gail Phillips.
Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I would move to withdraw my amendment.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, amendment number one has been withdrawn. There is a new amendment number 2 that I believe is being duplicated. Representative Zawacki, perhaps you could move it conceptually, or move it and then talk about it, and then go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 2 and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections.
I also call the House, Mr. Speaker.
The House has been called. Representative Zawacki, basically tell them your case at this point.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Speaker. What we're doing on the amendment is basically replacing the House CS finance for the CS for oil and gas Senate. And it says page 1, line 1 through page 4, line 3, the House CS finance is being deleted, and we are inserting page 1, line 1, through page 3, line 4, oil and gas, for the amendment.
Hearing objections? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think we have to particularly delay debate because people have the oil and gas CS in front of them. And I oppose it. It's the same as though we were rescinding the effect is to go back to the oil and gas. And I think it's important that what we did, and the members, almost the vast majority of us, signed on to the House resolution, House joint resolution. It was resolution 21, went through resources, and we added a lot of additional language in the resources committee that appears in the finance CS here, and in addition, it contains the language that is that was previously mentioned, that it requires the indemnification of subsistence users in Alaska, and also says that you cannot reduce the 90-10 revenue sharing split unless the voters of the state approve that reduction. And that, frankly, let me speak to the first one, and I know other members are going to speak to the indemnification provisions. The representative from Rampart, I think, will speak to that issue. But with respect to the do not reduce the revenue share unless the voters of the state approve that, that's a very important constitutional precedent that we're setting there, and I urge the members not to set that, not to delete that lightly. We have a contract with the federal government, and we've been through this before on several other bills. We should not give up our contractual rights with the federal government without a vote of the people. That's something that Governor Hickel suggests, and I think that has great merit. That is on the same footing, as far as I'm concerned, as our state constitution. We don't change our state constitution or amend it in any manner without a vote of the people, and we shouldn't do that in the Statehood Act either. And that's what this language contains, and if you go back to oil and gas version, you'll delete that language, and I hope we don't do that.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, while we're awaiting the call, Mr. Speaker, yes, that's true. What the majority leader has said is true. That provision is deleted, but by deleting it does not mean that we're not going to enforce it. We haven't said that we're going to roll over on 90-10 either. And I would probably prefer to see a paragraph on 90-10 and a vote of the people in the resolution. But I cannot accept the resolution in the manner in which it came out of finance, primarily because we took every single environmental concern, frustration, etc., loaded it into this thing so as to distort the purpose of this resolution. The purpose of this resolution was to encourage the exploration of ANWR. It has now been totally twisted around, so we'll let you have an affirmative comment on ANWR if you let us tell the Congress about every single thing in the world we want to worry about, including indemnifying people. I mean, we have gone way, way beyond what the initial concept was. If people wanted a resolution to say we're scared to death of ANWR and we're all worried about ANWR and we think ANWR is evil and awful, then I submit they should have submitted that kind of resolution and debated it openly. But to merely tag their personal concerns of a few people in this body onto what I think is one of the single most meaningful capital projects for the future income stream of this state and thus jeopardize this resolution because of it, I think is inappropriate. And that's why we ought to go back, as the sponsor had intended, from the other body and merely say to Congress, we want ANWR and we want it open now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising in support of the CS, House CS for the finance version of 21, in that it is my understanding that the indemnification clause, exactly as it's laid out here on page 3, line 19 through 21, it is my understanding that this is the exact same language that was passed through the 15th legislature. And so we're not dreaming up new words. We're not coming in with new language. that this is something that the 15th legislative body already took into consideration and passed through. So I certainly am in support of leaving that language in, as well as the a previous speaker had mentioned the removing 15 through 18. I have stood up here before you on previous legislation speaking about the ANWR and the necessity to protect the porcupine caribou herd and the habitat in that area for any development in ANWR. I think that that's just, it makes sense to the state of Alaska to have, in the long run, to have those areas protected, our environment to be protected, and the porcupine caribou herd and the calving area and the habitat within that area so that we can continue to enjoy what we have up there right now, and that is the use of that porcupine caribou herd and to have the habitat within that area unblemished. And I think that we need to look at that very carefully, and I'm very enthused to see that written in this piece of legislation, which was the original intent when it left House Resources, of which I sit on.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdrew my amendment in favor of amendment number 2, but I would just like to alert the body of the language in my original amendment, which addresses erroneous language in the present finance substitute regarding the blackmail clauses which Congress has already removed. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to speak at the end, but I would have had no problem with that amendment and would hope if this amendment fails that the representative from Homer would offer her amendment again and expand it to delete down to line 6 on that page. I think she's absolutely right and hope she does it again. And I'll reserve my comments for the rest.
Representative Zawacki, the call has been satisfied short of the conferees. Two of them probably would not. Would you lift the call? Representative Zawacki, will you lift the call?
I will at this time, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, the call has been lifted.
Let somebody else speak.
And will you want the floor?
I'll allow someone else to speak prior to speaking again if they'd like to.
Okay. Mr. Majority Leader?
If nobody else is going to speak, I was going to go over the... I'm sorry.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Speaker, I think I have some serious concerns on the finance version. As we all know, just this week that the Congress in committee passed a resolution in support of the ANWR development. And as we heard our senior senator and our junior senator address the joint session here a month or so ago, the ANWR issue is very, very delicate in the halls of Congress. And the future of this state to sustain the things that we've become accustomed to appreciating and the lifestyle and the needs for the basic services throughout the state have been supported by the industry, the oil and gas industry. And I think that, you know, very carefully, the Oil and Gas Committee crafted a resolution to support the development of ANWR in Congress. Suddenly, we have placed additional conditions upon that development through this resolution. And I think that we should be cognizant of the message that we deliver to Congress, because as our colleagues in Washington warned us, that this is a delicate issue and the balance of the success, the financial success of this state could hinge upon that vote in Congress in the next week or so. So I guess, Mr. Speaker, my plea to the body is let us not be overzealous in trying to tighten things down or to get such special interest into this resolution that as it's sent forward, that it could do one bit of harm to us. Because if that happens, as we approach the next decade without the ANWR development, and I know that there's difference of opinion of that, but if that happens, it's going to be very difficult for us to provide those services throughout this status. And I would just encourage us to pass the amendment to basically take us back to the oil and gas version, because that was carefully crafted without the special conditions. And I think that would do more to assist us right now when it's so much needed in Washington than anything else that we could do to enhance the future for generations of Alaskans to come. Thank you.
Are you Representative Kopanen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The language that is in the finance version came from the Resources Committee, as was mentioned before, and actually is drawn on, I think, SJR 17 from the 15th legislature, which is in the public record and which is in being discussed in Washington. All of you have received the latest issue of state legislatures, where they are discussing the next move in the energy game. And on page 15, begging your indulgence, they do speak of Alaska's legislative position on it. The Alaska legislature passed a resolution endorsing the exploration in ANWR subject to four conditions. The project would have to guarantee to protect the environment, provide job opportunities for Alaskan residents, continue the current revenue sharing formula where 90% of the federal government's royalty are paid in cash to the state, and indemnify any action that damages fish and wildlife resources. Now, gentlemen and ladies, that is the public record that is being debated. That is the position that Congress feels that we hold. A late change in our resolution, in our established position, I realize the 15th legislature cannot bind this one, but a late change in this, I think, will convince no one. I think we have to stick with a position that is on public record, the position that we hold and have held, and not retreat from it. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the members to know what is added in this bill from the House resolution that would be deleted if we went back to the Senate version. In other words, I want you to know what we're going to be throwing out of the bill if this motion passes. First, there is a provision in there that specifically makes reference to, and I'm now looking at our bill on page 2, line 2, that specifically says that the coastal plain comprises a core calving ground of the porcupine caribou herd. And the Senate version simply says it contains an area that's important to the calving. In fact, it's more than that. Secondly, the language that is on page 2, lines 4 through 7, was added from the House Resources Committee. And that states that the Gwich'in Athabaskan Indians of northeastern Alaska and northwestern Canada also have relied on caribou for subsistence for thousands of years and continues to subsist in the porcupine caribou herd, a herd that's essential to meet the nutritional, cultural, and spiritual needs of the Gwich'in people. That would go. Then, also, we look to page 2, lines 24 through 26, and that states that 65% of the remote communities in Alaska, in our state, still lack piped water and other essential services, and the people of Alaska rely on the revenue-sharing provision to address this and other grave health, social, and economic problems. That's an important provision. And we rely on the revenue sharing provisions to meet those needs. That would be deleted. And then the next whereas on page 2, lines 27 through 30 would go also. And that talks about the President's energy plan that includes provisions allocating 100% of any revenue derived from the development of ANWR to the federal government in violation of the Statehood Act. I think it's important that we indicate that we're aware of that and we oppose it. Those are some of the provisions that will, in fact, go, and also the whereas, the next whereas that talks about the 50% revenue royalty share. That is important to be in there, I believe, because that indicates what the bill is that's passed out of the Senate Energy Committee. And then they talk about the blackmail clause that I hope will be deleted. I do support that. But all of those provisions will be deleted if this amendment passes, and they are essential to our case, and they're essential that we present to Congress, and I think they're essential to the bill, and I hope the amendment's defeated.
We'll take Representative Martin, and then...
Yes. Mr. Speaker, I just want to correct one concern, one concept, and that is pertaining to our native people on its imaginary line that divides Canada from the United States. The Caribou don't recognize that line, and they do what they want on either side. And it is also true that the native people of Canada have special privileges that are different from the people in Alaska. They were, as of 3 years ago, allowed to commercialize up to 9,000 head a year. They were also allowed up to 6,000 head for sports purposes, and that's good to their business. It's very important to them. And then they were allowed so many for subsistence rights. So the complete difference usage of the caribou herd from one side of this imaginary line to the other. We also might take into consideration that in this bay up there, Mackenzie Bay, there is calving of the whales. But it's ironic that there's a lot of exploration going on by Canada and looking for oil, and there is production going on. So it's two different worlds as to how the people, both the state of Canada, nation of Canada, and Alaska, treat the resources. And I think we've been far above taking care of the environment, but it doesn't say that Canada has been wrong, because she has learned and her people have learned to maximize the natural resources, all aspects of the natural resources, and still benefit the people from modern technology and the monies that those natural resources bring in.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Taylor, have you spoken on this amendment?
Yeah, only once. Minority leader's been up about three times.
I'm going to invoke Mason's Manual 102. Does any other member wish to speak? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess what we're trying to decide is which message can we as a body send to Congress that will be most effective? And the issue is whether to send the one that has less conditions or one that has more specific conditions that we've already seen draw some contention from Congress already. And that is the 50-50 and the president's 100-0. And this reminds me a little bit of the very same type of a process we went through when we tried to send the message concerning the Exxon Valdez settlement issue. We placed so many conditions on it that it failed. And I worry about that. So I'm worried because I see two instruments here. Neither one of them are perfect, in my mind, at any rate. So it's going to be a hard choice as to which one of these to really send forward.
Representative Mackey.
Yeah, I didn't intend to debate this amendment, Mr. Speaker, but I'm just asking the maker of this amendment to clarify. In looking at his amendment, he's deleting everything out of the finance version, and basically inserting the oil and gas version. Is at least that's what I've come to the conclusion of. Except he adds the part that he's adding. He stops on page 3, line 4, and it leaves out 3/4 of the rest of the people this is supposed to go to. And so, I guess the amendment as written is not properly worded. So I'll be voting against it, and I'll call for the question.
Is there any other member that wishes to speak before I go back to the prime sponsor? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment. The Speaker from... indicated that we want the one that is the most effective. I submit that we not only want the one the most effective, but we want one that best represents the diverse views and the multicultural realities of our state. This is a very difficult issue because some people's lives will be disrupted, other people's lives will be enhanced. In fact, the majority, their life will be enhanced if there is, in fact, oil to the extent that we are led to believe there is in Anwar. So it is a difficult choice. But when you have something that others want so badly, sometimes you do not have the luxury of just going with what you think is your best intention. So I rise in opposition to this amendment because I think we need the resolution that best reflects the diversity of views as well as the diversity of cultural perspectives. And I would urge my colleagues to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Any other member wishes to speak on this issue? To the prime sponsor, Representative Zawacki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just saw a little hand wave over to the representative from Craig. I think he's realized that all the names are in the amendment that we talked about. Mr. Speaker, just a couple of things that in here. The concern that we are taking out any reference to the porcupine caribou herd and taking out any reference to the Alaska natives of the Northeast Alaska, that's not so, Mr. Speaker. It's just maybe a difference in the wording and the finance. It just compromises the core calving grounds of the porcupine caribou herd. And on the oil and gas, it says contains an area. We know that the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge up there contains many areas in regards to calving that isn't disputed by anybody. There's not one specific area. There are many areas. And, Mr. Speaker, the only change in regards to reference to Native Alaskans of Northeastern versus Gwich'in, again, we are still relating to any cultural Native heritage that might be up in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and those villages and communities up there. A couple areas, Mr. Speaker, that I have a problem with in regards to the finance. On page 2, line 27, it starts out, whereas the President of the United States has announced an energy plan that includes provisions allocating 100% of the revenue. Well, Mr. Speaker, it was not the President, it was some of his departments. Now, you may have somebody stand up and differ on that, but it was not the President, whoever said that he was going to take 100% of any revenues from the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It was some department heads, just like we have in the state here. Somebody may make an opinion, but that isn't a decision by the administration or this body here. So that needs to be clarified. And the area that I'm really concerned about, Mr. Speaker, is on page 3, lines 13 and 14 of the finance. It says, any attempts by the Congress or the President to coerce the state of Alaska. And, Mr. Speaker, I don't think we should be sending a message saying that you are coercing us. Anybody in Congress has a right to express their opinion, whether it's we feel it's right or wrong. Our congressional leaders are working with many of those congressional leaders at this time, whether they're on our side of the fence or whether they're on another side of the fence. I don't think there's anybody trying to coerce us. To me, coerce seems like they're trying to blackmail. I think they're trying to look in the best interest of their states and their individual peoples also. We have to realize these are federal lands. These are happen to be in the state of Alaska, but these are federal lands. And we have to work with the federal government and Congress to come up with a compromise or come up with something that is workable for both of us. So, Mr. Speaker, all we've really done with the finance is kind of extend out and add more things in. On the oil and gas, we relate to the caribou herds. We relate, in fact, on page 1, line 13 and 14, there was a mention that we're not referencing the wildlife and the habitat. Well, on page lines 13 and 14, it specifically has a concern of the environmental importance of the coastal plain and the wildlife systems from 1980 in wildlife and habitat. We are referencing all of those areas that are in the finance, but, Mr. Speaker, I would rather send a message to Congress saying that we are here, we have our concerns, but we support opening up Anwar, and we need to work with you, and I believe the oil and gas is a much more a better doctrine to be sending to the congressional leaders that we need to work with and not accuse them of coercing us or giving them a mandate at this time.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked a roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally Representative Mackey? From yea to nay. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
14 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment number 2 has failed adoption. Clerk, have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Representative Hudson?
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease, sir?
House stand at ease. Before the at ease, we're still in second reading. I understand that there is now another amendment, two more amendments. Would the clerk please make reference to... No, she was introduced before. Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Would the clerk make reference to amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Gail Phillips and Representative Grunberg. I should explain it's going out... Still saying amendment number 1, but it has been rewritten, and it will be number 3.
Okay, the old amendment number 1 that Representative Phillips withdrew is now amendment number 3. Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for the adoption of amendment number 3.
Hearing objections, Mr. Majority Leader.
Yes, this is taking out page 2, lines 3 through 6. A reference to the blackmail clause, but that's not in the current bill, and I do support the amendment and urge its adoption.
Are there any objection to the adoption of amendment number 3? Hearing objection. Representative Brown.
This is just a technical cleanup. Since the way this provision is structured, I think we'd also need to drop the and on line 2 and eliminate the paren 1 paren on line 1, and maybe the clerk can just take care of that as to our intent there.
Mm-hmm. Madam Clerk, can you handle that? Are there objections still maintained to the adoption of amendment number 3? Are they maintained? Hearing no objection then, the amendment number 3 has been adopted. Would the clerk make reference to amendment number 4?
Amendment number 4 by Representatives Brown and Grunberg.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 4, ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought the speaker from South Anchorage made a good point there that we don't want to appear confrontational to Congress or make it appear that we're being coerced. I think that that's adequately covered by the language that's on line 12, that we oppose any unilateral reduction in royalty revenue. And then further, the whole resolve that begins on line 22 addresses that issue also. I just think this language should come out.
Representative Zawacki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was a little slow. I guess it comes with the age with the previous speaker in mind, but I was going to be supporting this amendment, and I do support it because of the comments that I made earlier. I think by putting in the word coerce, I think we're getting a little too strong in our language, and I appreciate the previous speaker putting in the amendment, and I do support it.
Are there any objections to amendment number 4? Are there any objections to that amendment? Hearing none, amendment number 4 has been adopted. The resolution is still before us in third reading. Has the clerk found any further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Look a little bit closer. No? Okay. Having no further amendments. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Having looked and found no further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that joint resolution for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21 Finance Amended House, relating to oil and gas exploration and protection within and the state's royalty shares in the development of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Third reading and under debate, which I think we've had. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got Masons invoked on me, so I didn't stand. Now that we're under third reading, I do want to indicate that I think there's some irrelevant provisions. I think there's some provisions within this thing that should have been removed, because if there's one message we heard loud and clear from our congressional delegation, it was don't send us a dual message. Send us one clear, concise message with a unified support behind it. And if we cannot have unified support in this body or this state for the concept of ANWR at 90-10, and we have to all add our own little things on to it, then we are continuing to send a confused message to Congress, and we are continuing to abdicate, as my friend from Fairbanks has often indicated, our colonial status. We're still saying that we can't quite figure out really what we want up here in Alaska, so Congress, you just legislate for us and tell us what to do. I think that's a serious mistake. I think sending this resolution in this form is a serious mistake. I think it's interesting that we have a provision in here that has absolutely nothing to do with the resolution. It states a fact. How many other facts out of the Blue Book of Alaska could we also throw in here? The fact I'm referring to is on page 2, where it says 65% of the remote communities lack piped water. Are they going to get piped water if we prevent ANWR from being drilled? I don't think so. I don't know of anybody else that's going to come to Alaska and bring the kind of monies necessary for us to put piped water into those communities. Some of those communities and areas are in your district, Mr. Speaker, and in my district, where they do not have a piped water system, as far as I know, in the community of Myers Chuck. Is somebody going to go down there and build one for them? Maybe, if the state's got enough money, we can put in a decent water system for Myers Chuck. That'd be nice. Right now, we're running out of money because we are running out of oil. And people are saying in here, oh, drill for oil, but abide by every single stumbling block we can possibly throw in your way. Abide by the clean air, the clean water. Worry more about the caribou than the Canadians who slaughter 6,000 to 15,000 of them a year. Maybe that's what we should do to protect that caribou herd. Do exactly the same thing the Canadians have done. Drill in the area the caribou come through. Put in production wells. Build a pipeline right through the area where they migrate. And then shoot down 15,000 of them a year. Good place to shoot them, probably in the core calving area, because they're all herded up right there. We're not doing that. We're protecting that herd. We're concerned about those people that rely upon that herd, a lot more concerned than the Canadians have ever been. And yet, who's fighting us on this? The Canadians. What groups are fighting on us on this? The very same group that put the Pribilof Island people on welfare checks, because they wouldn't allow those folks to continue to harvest their natural resource seals. I think we should look at who we're crawling in bed with on this thing and what type of message we're sending to the people of Congress. Are there people like Mr. Mitchell, like Mr. Mo Udall, that will love provisions out of this resolution and quote them to Congress? The people of Alaska say, I can just hear them now, people of Alaska say, don't do this unless you do this. That isn't sending the message Ted Stevens stood right there and asked us to send. That isn't sending the message that Don Young or Frank Murkowski asked us to send. That's why I think this is a mistake. And I think many of us in here will rue the day we sent this kind of a resolution, because pieces and parts of this resolution will be fed back to us by every national special interest group that is opposing this state in the opening of ANWR. And they're not opposing it because they care about our people. They're not opposing it because the Sierra Club wants to come up here and put in piped water systems to remote communities. I haven't seen the Wilderness Society up here dredging out a sewage lagoon. I submit this is a mistake. And the best way to clear up this mistake is, let's revert back as we did before. And I will provide this House with an opportunity to do that. If I can't do it in reconsideration, then I will move to rescind tomorrow. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21 Finance Amended House pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
23 yeas, 12 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21 Finance Amended House has passed the House. Representative Baker?
Were you going to ask if any member wished to change their vote?
Okay. No. Do you want to void the roll? Go through it again. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21 Finance Amended House pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
23 yeas, 12 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 21 Finance Amended House has passed the House.
Consideration, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Representative Hanley was seeking the floor, but I assume it was for the same purpose. Notice of reconsideration has been given. At this time, the chair is going to ask for a recess at the call of the chair and to come back at about 6 o'clock on the floor. Mr. Majority Leader, maybe we better have some announcements. Is that what you're looking for?
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to ask permission to revert to introduction of guests.
Are there any objections?
I just wanted to point out to the members that in Gallery A is a person who I think is probably a friend to most of us in the room, the First Lady of Alaska, Ermelie Hickel.
Representative Baker.
And Mr. Speaker, as long as we're on the introduction of guests, the lady sitting next to Mrs. Hickel is known to at least some of those from Anchorage, the wife of the Chief of Staff, Mrs. Max Holt.
Any further guests for introduction? Before I ask for the motion to recess, I think I'll go to committee announcements, announcement general. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Labor and Commerce Committee will hold a short meeting in 5 minutes to hear a bill held over Senate Bill 35, I believe it is, the Landlord-Tenant Bill.
Any further committee announcement? Representative Davidson?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce a meeting of the House Resources Committee right after this recess. And we have two, it'll be a short meeting. We have two items to take up. One is the Good Pasture Bill, the other is the HCR 31. And I would like to ask for a short at ease, if I may.
Would the House stand at ease? Representative Davidson, were you going to continue?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have permission of the body to move back up the calendar to unfinished business.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask permission of the body to waive Senate Bill 240. We heard the companion bill in the Resources Committee already. It's an appropriation fisheries refund tax program. And I've polled some members of my committee, and there is no objection. So I ask the indulgence of the body to act upon this request with without...
Okay, are there any objections to waiving the bill to the next committee referral? Hearing no objections, the bill will be waived. We drop back down to an announcement. Representative Boyer?
Also under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker.
Unfinished business?
Yes, the Finance Committee Chairman has asked me to ask that we be able to waive House CS for Senate Bill Number 38, Judiciary, which is the act relating to the obstruction or hindrance of lawful hunting, fishing, trapping, or viewing of fishing game. Ask unanimous consent.
Yeah, that had a zero fiscal. Yeah.
Yes.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, that bill is also waived to the next committee referral. Before any further committee announcements, Representative Ulmer?
Thank you. There will be a majority caucus at 5 p.m. in the Speaker's chambers. Thank you.
Back to committee announcements. Representative Donnelly.
Well, with that, Mr. Speaker, I guess we'll try to have Judiciary at 3:30.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements, Representative Taylor?
Yeah, just general announcement. I'd ask minority members to stay on the floor for a few minutes just after the recess.
Okay. Representative Bruckman?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like permission just to give a special announcement. Thank you, and that pertains to the problem in Anchorage this morning, the tragedy about the Freon gas escaping at the Diamond Shopping Mall. Apparently, it had overcome some people in the health club above the skating rink, and one person has died. Another person is still in critical condition. The firefighters and paramedic had found three people in cardiac arrest when they arrived at the building. One of those people are the one that died, and two more on the way to the hospitals went into cardiac arrest. What saddens me vastly is that Anchorage only has four trucks, emergency trucks, and had to wait for over 30 minutes for another truck to arrive from Eagle River. A woman with a concussion was waiting for 35 minutes. But people are still in the hospital. They're improving their condition. You know, they're only in serious, and some are in satisfactory, and one person is still in critical. But the press room has been very kind and keeping me updated. And I would, at this point, like to thank the people of the press here in the Capitol building for their feelings and the help that they've given me. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Other announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Do we need a motion to approve the House Journal for the 119th day?
We are still working on that.
Oh, still working. Okay.
In other words, the volume of the thing, yeah. Will the House come to order? Before the recess, we were in the daily calendar, and we were down to second reading of Senate resolution, and that was SJR 30. Would the clerk please read that item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 30, Oil and Gas, by the Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas, relating to federal oil leases in the North Aleutian Basin section of Bristol Bay. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing, due pass, Lincoln, Ivan, Finkelstein, and Davidson. With no recommendation, Lehman, Hudson, and Carney. I have no committee substitutes.
Having no committee substitutes, committee substitute serves as an amendment, and that's the majority of those present. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, there is no committee substitute, but I'm just... Are there any pending amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no pending amendments?
We don't have enough on the floor. I call the House.
Okay.
Ask to stand at ease.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, there was a call placed on the House. The Majority Leader has informed me that he has withdrawn the call. We have enough people to do business. We are dealing with Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 30. The clerk has established that there are no amendments in her possession. And being a joint resolution and no pending amendments, it must be moved to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, would the clerk please read the title of that resolution for the third time?
Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 30, Oil and Gas, relating to federal oil leases in the North Aleutian Basin section of Bristol Bay.
Third reading and under debate. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I only have one question here. I see what's being done, but we're talking about repurchasing or included in credit plan. Is it perceived that perhaps the additional land that the federal government owes Alaska may be used as credit for whatever reason, and that we may end up with more Bristol Bay as a park rather than exchange of land?
Any further debate?
Wasn't a debate. Question.
Are you ready for the Representative Jackal?
I'm not sure I understood the question. This is offshore. I think he's asking if that would become a park. I don't think they'd make a park out of offshore land, a lease sale. But essentially, I think the bottom line is that the details really aren't, specific details are not really cast in concrete on as far as for how this would be resolved. But the attempt here is to put some finality to the whole situation.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 30, Oil and Gas, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
28 yeas, 6 nays.
Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 30, Oil and Gas, has passed the House. Some citations. Mr. Majority Leader, some citations.
What? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two citations on the calendar.
But it's at the bottom.
Nine citations. I move and ask unanimous consent that they be adopted. The first is a citation honoring Yukon Quest Trail champion Charlie Boulding. Second honors James W. Paul. Third honors Denali Elementary School 40th birthday. Next honors Warren C. Culver. Next honors Nikiski High School girls volleyball team. Next honors Love to Learn program. Next honors John Hall. Next honors second annual Frontier Thinking Conference. And finally, in memoriam, Ken Bunch.
Are there any objections as the adoption of the citations on today's calendar?
No.
No objections, Mr. Minor Lee? Hearing no objections, the citations on today's calendar have been adopted. We are now at the bottom of the calendar, and right, we have one other item left.
I just wanted to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on CS for SJR 30 Oil and Gas.
Notice of reconsideration has been given.
I wanted to note, Mr. Speaker, some of us were just coming into the chambers, apparently, when the vote was taking place. It'll give other people an opportunity to review that legislation and before they make a determination when they vote against.
Is it your intention, then, to bring it up a little bit later on, Mr. Minority Leader? Okay, there's been a reconsideration placed on SJR 30. The citations have been adopted. We're at the bottom of the calendar. We're dealing with Senate Bill 213. Would the clerk please read the last item on the calendar?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 213, Judiciary. An act relating to State versus Amerada Hess with respect to transfers to the dividend fund and providing for an effective date.
And this was the second reading.
We have adopted this on page C.
No. This particular bill was moved to the bottom of the calendar when certain things happened here. It's on today's calendar.
That's where we were. We had a motion.
Okay. The motion that we had before us at that time was an advancement motion to third reading. Has the clerk, in the time that we put it at the bottom of the calendar, received any other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be advanced to consider engrossed advance to third reading.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 213, Judiciary, an act relating to State versus Amarada Hess with respect to transfers to the dividend fund and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'll be brief, but I do want to make a point and an analogy here that I think is important to all of us. The other day, this body was criticized significantly in the press for having voted on a piece of legislation that would have some fiscal impact on the members in here, that being the SBS bailout. The criticisms in there were that we had done something merely because it feathered our own pockets, or our own nests, I guess is a better way to put that. But although usually when I reach in my pocket, that's all I get, feathers. So. I think it's interesting to note that the reason we have this piece of legislation before us is because of a court ruling that no state judge could sit in judgment on the Amarada Hess case because that judge receives a permanent fund dividend. And when you carry the concept of a conflict of interest to its logical extreme, as my dear friend, retired Senator Robert Ziegler used to say, you have moved rapidly from the ridiculous to the sublime. And what has happened here is, with that judicial interpretation, it means that there was no judge any place in the state that could hear the case. Now, that's ridiculous. Just as ridiculous as a member of the press who might indicate that the problem had to be solved, but there was no legislature that could solve it because the members of the legislature had an interest in the fund. And I think it's important to us that we pass this legislation, although it truly does seem ridiculous that we should have to, that someone would have carried that logic to such a sublime level. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be supporting the bill.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 213, Judiciary, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
40 yeas, 0 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 213, Judiciary, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the clause has been adopted.
There's a letter of intent.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the House Judiciary letter of intent, which is in the bill packets.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of that letter? Hearing none, the letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. May I have the permission of the body to go back up to introductions?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you. Representative Hudson and I have some constituents in both galleries this evening. First of all, in Gallery A, I'd like to introduce to you actually someone you know very well, the former Attorney General of the state, Avram Gross, and his daughter, Elizabeth. If I might, in Gallery B, thank you very much. A fisherman and citizen activist, Alan Stein, and his son, who's an excellent swimmer, Irv Stein.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Baker.
Mr. Speaker, as long as we're in that place in the calendar, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce Terrence Connor, a member of my Rotary Club from Anchorage and the General Manager of Macaw Communications.
Any further guests for introduction? Now that the body has given permission to move up the calendar to introduction of guests, we will walk down the calendar to messages from the Senate.
Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance, thus passing House committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance, and Act establishing the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, defining its powers and duties relating to the trust established by the Alaska Mental Health Enabling Act of 1956 and to an integrated comprehensive mental health program, abolishing the Interim Mental Health Trust Commission relating to the Older Alaskans Commission and the Governor's Council for the Handicapped and Gifted, and services provided under the Uniform Alcoholism and Intoxication Treatment Act, amending the duties of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation and the membership and duties of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board, amending the jurisdiction of courts, exempting trust property from municipal taxation, and providing for an effective date. The House has passed committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 7, Judiciary Am, with the following amendment: Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 7, State Affairs, proclaiming 1991 to the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Year in Alaska, and it is returned for consideration. Senate has passed committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17, Finance Am, with the following amendment: Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17, CRA, establishing a task force on governmental roles, and it is returned for consideration. Senate has passed committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 40, Resources Am, with the following amendment: Senate committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 40, Resources, requesting a closure of the eastern Gulf of Alaska east of 140 degrees west longitude to pelagic and on-bottom trawl fishing, and is returned for consideration. Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 96, Hess Am, with the following amendment: Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 96, Hess, an act relating to free tuition and fees for a spouse or dependent of certain state residents who died while serving in the United States Armed Services or who were listed as prisoners of war or missing in action, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 206, Finance, with the following amendment: CS for House Bill 206, Finance, AMS, an act revising the loan authority of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and relating to the authority's loan guarantees under its business assistance program and providing for an effective date, and it is returned for consideration. And the Senate has passed House Bill 331, amended, with the following amendment: House Bill Number 331, AMS, an act relating to tax credits for contributions to certain educational institutions and providing for an effective date, and it is returned for consideration. The House has failed to concur, and the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 158, Finance, effective date amended, an act relating to the interest rate on unpaid and overpaid taxes and to the due rates for and interest on unpaid and overpaid royalties and net profit share payments from state resources, and providing for an effective date, namely House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 158, Finance, and act relating to the interest rate on unpaid and overpaid taxes and to the due dates for and interest on unpaid and overpaid royalties and net profit share payments from state resources, and providing for an effective date, and the House, and request the House to recede from its amendment. The Senate has passed committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 152, Finance, an act relating to a temporary grant program for certain individuals who served in active duty in the Persian Gulf or as a result of the Persian Gulf War, relating to eligibility for permanent fund dividends of certain individuals and providing for an effective date.
This bill will be referred to State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
Senate has passed Senate Bill 230, an act relating to the payment of unemployment insurance benefits and the computation of employer contribution rates because of the Persian Gulf crisis, and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance. Finance, just with the House entities. House, come back to order. Before the at ease, we are under messages from the Senate, and we're kind of referring some bills on the spot here. The last bill that the clerk read was Senate Bill Number 230, and that will have a Labor and Commerce referral and a Finance referral. Do we have have anything else up there that we should get at? How about reports of standing committees? This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 29, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute resources with a new title and have individual recommendations, attaches a fiscal note. Signing do pass Davidson, Finkelstein, and Moyer. Signing do not pass Ivan, Carney, and Zawacki. With no signing to amend, Lehman and Lincoln. Report was signed by Davidson, Chairman. House Bill 29 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 94, Good Pasture Public Use Area, has no recommendation, attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Moyer. Signing do not pass, Carney. With no recommendation, Davidson, Lincoln, and Hudson. Report was signed by Davidson, Chairman. HB 94 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 29, Federal Fee on Recreational Boats, and recommends do pass. Signing do pass, Ivan, Carney, Moyer, Lincoln, Davidson, and Hudson. Report was signed by Davidson, Chairman. Senate Joint Resolution 29 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 7, Finance, State Aid for Education, recommends it be replaced with a House Committee Substitute 7, Finance, with the same title and has individual recommendations, and attaches a fiscal note. Signing do pass, Almer, Larson, Kopanen, and Boyer. With signing do not pass, R. Phillips and Barnes. No recommendation, Sharp, Jacko, Brown, and Navarre. Report was signed by Co-Chair Navarre. Senate Bill 7 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 35, Jude, recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, and has no recommendation, and attaches a fiscal note. Signing no rec, Finkelstein, Parnell, Ivan, and Bruckman. Signing to amend, Donnelly. Report was signed by Chairman Finkelstein. SB 35 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee.
This bill has picked up a fiscal note, so it now will be referred to Finance as well.
Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 235, Finance, Debt Retirement Fund, and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Larson, R. Phillips, Sharp, Kopanen, Boyer, Jacko, Navarre, and Barnes. Signing no rec, Brown. Report was signed by Co-Chairman Navarre. Senate Bill 235 has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 236, Finance, Appropriation, Debt Retirement, recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute Finance with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Larson, R. Phillips, Sharp, Kopanen, Boyer, Jacko, Navarre, and Barnes. With no recommendation, Brown. The report was signed by Co-Chair Navarre. Senate Bill 236 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none.
This brings us back. We had just completed our calendar. We'd be looking for a motion to adopt a supplemental.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, since we haven't quite completed that calendar, I would move at this time that House Bill 198 be moved from State Affairs to the Judiciary Committee. I will then make another motion if that succeeds.
Object to the consideration of the question.
Well, then I will object to that and demand a vote on the question of whether or not we will be allowed to debate the issue.
Objection to consideration is not debatable. The chair has to protect the body and the time that is allocated here, and that is why that device is put into Mason's manual.
I'm not looking for any extensive debate, just a vote on the challenge to your objection, sir.
You can no longer debate my point of order. You may appeal it, but you may not debate it any further.
I understand that.
No vote. Mr. Majority Leader, I objected to the consideration of the question. The Minority Leader did not challenge the decision of the Chair, so I'm looking for an adoption of the supplemental calendar.
I'll challenge the chair on it, but that isn't the question. The question you stated, Mr. Speaker, I made a motion, and at the time...
Point of order.
There's no remedy of debating with the chair. The remedy is an appeal.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell.
Gentleman is out of order.
Well, then I appeal the chair, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the correction. Great, appreciate it.
The question before the body is, shall the decision of the chair be the judgment of the House? Mr. Majority Leader?
This is a procedural motion.
Does it,